Amos chapter 7, starting at verse 7, and it says, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I am setting a plumb line as a standard in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by and spare them anymore. The door of mercy is shut. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall with a plumb line." So he had a vision. Amos had a vision, and Amos saw God standing on a wall.
Yes, he did.
And he had a plumb line in his hand. And a plumb line is a piece of rope or string, and it's weighted at the bottom. And the weight at the bottom is meant to keep it completely straight. And they use that to get walls straight. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? Whenever the Lord asks you what you see, there's a point that's going to be made. He wants to give you a revelation. So Amos says, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line as a standard. This straight line is my standard in the midst of my people, Israel. I will not pass by and spare them anymore. The door of mercy is shut. Lord, I pray today that you'll help us to meet the standard so that we don't miss the door. In Jesus' name, amen. I was so impacted by a conference that I attended on yesterday and the focus of the conference, and I ministered in this arena, and the Lord put it on my heart to come back and share it again. And the topic of today's message is simply realignment. Realignment. This verse here, these verses are kind of scary. Because as I look out on the landscape of life, I see so many people who are missing the standard of God. God has a standard, and he will not lower it, not even for love. So while churches back off their standards and begin to say things that are not permissible are now permissible, God says, you might change to get more people in the seats, but I'm not going to change in order to get more people into heaven. So, church, you can do whatever it is you feel like you need to do so that you can have a mega ministry. But you're hurting people because they will not enter in, living outside of my will and purpose for their lives. Church, it's just not going to happen. God has a holy standard. And his standard is so high that he had to send perfection to die on our behalf so that we might believe in his substitutionary death, his burial, his resurrection, and be saved in order for us to even meet it. There is, church, a standard. And God requires of us that we live by it. Can you see the picture of God standing on the wall, holding the plumb line, saying, I put this in the middle of my people. Let's take it out of the middle of Israel and let's put it in the middle of the church. Let's put the plumb line in the middle of the people of God, and let's see how many people are standing on the line. If we're not standing on the line, then we need realignment. All right. Amen. We need some help. We need some repair. We first of all need to recognize that a lot of our ways and thoughts are contrary to the structured standards of God. I know there's grace, but we don't need to pimp grace. We don't need to play with grace. We don't need to say that just because there's forgiveness, I can do whatever I want to do or say whatever I want to say. We still have to meet the standard. Lord, have mercy. Realignment. Everybody say realignment. It simply means to align again. To realign simply means to align again. So then realignment would have to be the process by which one is realigned. Realignment has to be a process by which an individual is realigned. This word implies that there was once a time when the object of realignment was in line. So there once was a time when we lived our lives for God out of our abundance of love, and we walked a certain way. We spoke a certain way. We had a certain way of conducting ourselves. There once it was a time when we were in line, and now that person, that object, is now in need of the process of realignment. Let me give you an analogy, if you don't mind, for just a few moments. If a plane is off by a degree, it will not hit its target. It will not arrive at its destination. Do you understand me? It can be off just a very little bit, and it will not make it to where it's supposed to be. Am I right, Minister Nern? If you are in your plane and you turn 1 degree to the left, you will not make it to where you're supposed to be going, because the longer you fly, the farther away you will get from your destination. See, if it's a short trip, you might get near it, but the longer you on earth and you walking a degree off, you're going to get further and further away from where God wants you to be. That's why we got to stop turning by degrees, calling things small things, because the small foxes spoil the vine. All of these little things we call small things, insignificant. Nobody will ever know. It's just me. It's just God. Nobody has to get upset over these little things. Pastor, why do you make such a big deal out of small stuff? It's because the small stuff is what's messing up our walk with God. It's the little things we sneak and do. It's the little compromises we make in front of our TV. It's the little compromises we make with our music that's messing up our spirit. Amen. We hang around angry people, we're going to be angry. Amen. We hang around people that cuss, and when we get mad, we just might curse. Yes, it don't take a whole bunch. A little leaven. Oh, yes, leaven's the whole lump. Let's shout. Let's shout. Let's clap our hands and give him glory for that. A little leaven. Leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit of changes. Getting off course. Get us out of line. We got to get back in line. We've got to get back in line. How do we even get out of alignment in the first place? God is so awesome. Anybody know what a parable is? Yeah. In Sunday school, they taught us that a parable is a heavenly story, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's stories that Jesus would use for things that happen down here, little stories, so that we can understand the heavenly implications. Because sometimes what Jesus had to say was so heavy and so deep that if he didn't bring it to earth measures, we'd miss it. So I said, God, help me with this realignment thing. And he said, okay, look at an automobile. I said, God, how are these things cost? He said, well, automobiles get put out of line when they hit bumps in the road or potholes. That's why anytime you hit a, you see a guy, most guys in the car, when they hit a deep pothole, they say, oh! Because they know that that pothole can cause a greater problem. You may not be able to see it, but the problem can still be there. And that's the danger of misalignment, because sometimes you can't see it by looking at it. Let's keep going. It's a lack of maintenance will cause that problem. And then wrecks will throw your car out of line. Bumps in the road represent everyday issues of life. The everyday stuff we have to deal with, paying bills, dealing with people on the job, raising our children, being married and trying to be happy at the same time. Come on, I wish I had a witness in here. A neighbor who keep throwing his trash in your yard. Little things that happen in life. Come on. Life issues. Everything that goes on all the time. Then there's lack of maintenance. Lack of prayer. Lack of study. Lack of worship. Lack of praise. Lack of time spent with God. Lack of maintenance of our relationship with the Lord. We think that we're going to be able to come in church on Sunday and be a worshiper, and we ain't seen the Lord since last Sunday. And then wrecks, that's unexpected life events, things you weren't looking for, the big things that come up, like diagnoses from the doctor, like bills that you thought you paid off 2 years ago, and you got something from the collection agency, and you don't have enough money to pay it. All kinds of things, like somebody dying in the family, wrecks, things that you don't look for. Every now and then there's a wreck, there's an unexpected life event. But then the Lord turned me to another place. Maybe if we can't get it with the cars, maybe we can get it with our own bodies. The Lord says, I'm going to show you how backs get out of line. First of all, backs get out of line by falls. Backs get out of line by bad posture. Backs get out of line by repetitive motions. Backs get out of line by improper lifting. And back gets out of line by repetitive improper movements or lifting. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, our falls are the mistakes we make. Everybody makes a mistake. Everybody messes up. Everybody does things they didn't mean to do, they didn't wake up with on their mind. Everybody messes up every now and then. Let the church say, amen. I just wanted y'all to say amen, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only person in here who made a mistake, and I was in the wrong church, a church of the perfect people. So I just wanted to go ahead and make sure that we had real live human beings in here who make mistakes every now and then. A mistake is something you didn't mean to do, but bad posture is different. Bad posture is learned over time. You see, if you're always slumping in your seat, you'll always be slumping in your seat. So you have to have somebody tell you every now and then, sit up. Stand up straight. Come on. When you get into the military, some of the things they teach you is about posture. They teach you to stand up straight so that your back's not bent over all the time. Because if you are always that way, you'll always be that way. Say amen. Bad posture represents compromises. It represents a relaxing of our standards. It represents relaxing, period. Let me explain. When you compromise, you are no longer standing straight. When we relax our standards, keep in mind God's standard is still where it is. But when we relax our standards so somebody can like us, to be closer to our kids, to get along. Yes, sir. And we compromise. The Holy Spirit has convicted us that this is wrong for us. Amen. But because Rome is doing it. Am I talking to anybody? You see, there are some things that the Bible may not address that the Holy Spirit has. Let me talk to the church today. See, there are some things that God told you you're not supposed to do. You see, Paul said that anything that is not of faith is sin. So anything that you go to do and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon you as you go to do it, that's God's way of saying that's not for you. So let the other Christian go ahead, because they might have a release, but you may not have a release to do that. And when you do it anyway, it's called compromise. Anybody ever had that feeling when you went to do something? And the Bible didn't say don't do that. You couldn't find it in the Bible, but you just knew down in your spirit that you weren't supposed to do or say. Amen. And when you do it, it's called compromise. It's called relaxing the standard. It's called, you know, well, I don't want to ruffle no feathers, so I'm just going to relax my standard, and I don't agree with that, but I'm just going to, you know, just kind of, I ain't going to say nothing, and I'm not going to really go along with it, but I'm just going to be there. You understand? That ain't really bad, is it? You know what I'm saying? If it looked like you're going along with it, then you probably are going along with it, relaxing the standard, and some of us are just relaxing, period. Some of us have gotten so relaxed in the Lord until don't nothing godly really make that much of a difference to us. I mean, stuff just is what it is. It just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to get there when I get there. I'm going to do what I want to do when I get there. I ain't got to lift my hands. It don't take all that. And all this studying and reading stuff, I'll read a little meditation here and there. But I mean, it don't really matter. It don't really. And then, you know what? When we have a wreck, we don't know how to act. We don't understand that the little times with God prepares us for accidents, prepares us for wrecks, prepares us for potholes. It gets us ready for the time when something major happens. And we have gotten so relaxed in the church of God that somebody who really loves God looks like a lunatic. We've gotten so laid back about the things of God, we find ourselves now, we don't even look different anymore. We don't stand out anymore. I thought we were supposed to be pilgrims. I thought we were ambassadors. We're supposed to stick out. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. You're peculiar, praise God. You're supposed to stand out. You can't fit in. We're supposed to be so different. They say, there goes one of those Christians. But we fit into society so well. You can't even tell the difference. We are out of line. We're so relaxed. We get more excited about basketball than we do Jesus. Somebody says Jesus saves, and we just sit back like that commercial on TV. I already know that. Well, did you know he saved you? I thought I put on a little commercial, you know what I'm saying? You know, you save this with God. Y'all know the commercial. Yeah, I already knew that. Well, did you know? I mean, we say stuff like Jesus saves, and we should be going crazy when we hear that. We hear Jesus saves, and we be like, yeah, I already know that. You ain't telling me nothing new. But did you know that if he didn't wake you up this morning, you'd be dead? Did you know if he didn't tell your heart to beat, you'd be gone? Did you know if he didn't let your eyes see, you'd be blind?
Yes, sir.
Did you know that every step you took was powered by God?
Yes, sir.
It's to the point where we put more effort and activity in the worldly stuff than we do the kingdom. There ain't no way we should be giving the world more than we give God. That would be like me giving another woman more attention than I give my wife. Woo, we cheating on God. We cheating on God with the stuff he gave us. We cheating on God with the job he gave us. Oh my goodness. We cheating on God trying to keep the house going that he blessed us with. Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. He gave us this stuff, yet somehow it became more important than him. What happened? When we didn't have it, we were into him so much. We didn't have nothing to lose. No house, no car, no status, no reputation. We had nothing when we came to God. And now God has blessed us with all this stuff. And now this stuff is higher than God. Oh, God. When we were catching hell on every side, we were on time at the altar, hands lifted, tears running. But now we blessed. And that looks crazy. But let stuff go haywire again. Y'all excuse me. You see, the problem with misalignment is that it causes other issues. On your car, it causes uneven tire wear. It causes your tires to wear unevenly, you see. It leads to a rough ride. And it leads to what we call drifting. Makes your ride bumpy. When your tires are unevenly worn, it just makes the ride bad. You start, you take your hand off the steering wheel, and it's just... I was telling them yesterday, I remember driving a car. The alignment was so bad, you had to turn it all the way left to make it go straight. Anybody ever drove a car like that? You had to turn that bad all the way left and hold it to make it go straight. You know, you're tired as I don't know what. What's wrong with you? I had to drive here. Not to turn right, you got to do all of this. Out of line. Why is it so hard in your walk with God? Is our walk with God supposed to be this difficult? Is it supposed to be this hard, this tedious? Probably because we're out of line. In the body, it causes pain and a restricted range of movement. If you ever had a hurt back, you can't even walk fast. Anybody know about the hurt back? You have a hurt back, you walking like this. Little stuff like turning over. Have you ever had a backache that tried to turn over? You figure turning over in the bed is one of the easiest things in the world. But when your back hurts, you have to think about it. Okay. That thing hurt you bad enough, you won't go. Elder Smith, am I telling the truth? Little stuff like getting up. And you up like, you gotta ease your way into standing up. Little things. When we out of alignment, the little things in God get hard. Simple stuff like just lifting our hands in worship gets difficult. Let's keep going. In the life of a believer, what happens is they end up with a life lived out of focus, outside of purpose, and out of power. Oh, a life lived out of focus. Can't see clearly what really matters. A life outside of purpose. You find yourself just doing everything instead of doing what God called you to do. And a life out of power. No strength. No resource from God. Just existing and taking whatever life gives you. walk around hoping instead of speaking things into the atmosphere. I hope it gets better. Instead of saying, God, I believe it's getting better. We become defeated Christians. How in the world can you be delivered and defeated? Victorious and whipped at the same time. Because we're out of alignment. We want God to be God. We want him to do all he's promised to do. But we won't do the little thing of staying in line. You want to go to the lunchroom? You want to eat? Talking to the teachers and the paraprofessionals? What do you say to them little babies? Get in line. You want to go get something to eat? You want to go out for recess? What do they tell the little babies? Get in line. Oh, even in the military, my daddy told me they had a thing in the military called hurry up and wait. Where you had to get there early just to be in a line. Say amen. You want to get your ticket to the show? You're going to have to get in line. I wish I had a witness here. And if you ever want to check out at the grocery store and you don't want to just live there for the rest of your life, you're going to have to get We get in line everywhere else but in God. You can't take them groceries home unless you get in line. That's called shoplifting. That's called stealing. They'll arrest you for that. They'll see you on the website. But we want God to bless us. It amazes me. You know what? I was looking at something on TV the other day. It convinced me I should never see it again, long as I live. The girl was sitting at the chair cussing up a stone. Then they asked her to sing a song. And she got up there and said, I've learned how to live holy. I said, what? You learned what? You mean to tell me you think it's okay to one minute be cussing like a sailor and the next minute you're going to sing about Jesus? The church helped that happen. Because our standards are so relaxed that the world can't see a difference, so they think anything goes. How can bitter and sweet, blessings and cursings, come from the same mouth, from the same fountain? It cannot happen, God says. His word says it's not possible for you to cuss one minute and praise the next. For you to be mean and nasty and full of love. It ain't possible, I tell you. The food can't be nasty and good. Hey, Lord, help us in here today. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Touch your neighbor, say, I want to live holy. Woo! Yes. Somebody shout, no compromise. Hey, God. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't mind if they call me a holy roller. Tell them I'm rolling all the way to glory. Hey, tell them when that cloud comes down, he coming to get me. Tell somebody, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to mess around and Jesus come back. And my family members are missing. And I'm running around the house trying to find my wife. And I come down to real life and all the saved folk gone. Where's Mother Trapio? Where's Elder Smith at? Why ain't nobody on the camera? Y'all ever saw that YouTube video where it thundered and the room shook? The lights went off. They came back on and half the people were gone. And the people were looking around for everybody and they were in church. And the rapture came and some of them were left behind. That's scary to think we could go to church and still end up being left. We think coming to this building makes us safe. Hallelujah. Some of us are saved, for real saved, and we're not going to miss it. But we're missing out on the glorious life of a transformed believer who walks in the will of God. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Hallelujah. I know you don't want to live out of focus. I know you don't want to live outside of purpose. And I know you don't want to live out of power. Nobody in here wants to do something for God and just be doing it. Nobody in here wants to do something for God and there's no anointing on it. Can I get a witness here? Are there any preachers in here who want to preach and there's no anointing on the word? There's no anointing going forth as you minister the word. Nobody wants that. That's right. A consecrated life means something to God. That word sanctify, I am sanctified. It means set aside for God. When we say we're sanctified, what we say is I belong to God and nothing else. The devil don't get my time. We always used to call the church the sanctified church because they danced. You are the sanctified church. Means you're set apart. Hallelujah. Now, some of you who've been to the chiropractor will understand this information. I don't know it firsthand because I've not been. I do need to go, however, and see the doctor. But once spinal misalignment is diagnosed, the chiropractor performs what is called a spinal adjustment. Yeah. The word adjustment is simply a change that makes it possible for a person to do, be, or work better. I'm sorry. We got a witness. It makes it possible for a person to do better, to be better, or to work better in a new situation. The way we are might have fit the old situation. But God is looking to promote us and give us a new situation. And the mess that we're doing don't fit where we're going. Can I get a witness in here? The way we speak don't fit where we're going. The way we think don't fit where we're going, so we got to be realigned. Jojo, don't do that now. Stop that. Stop that. Quit that. This will move the vertebrae back into alignment, restoring correct posture and alleviating pain that might have been caused by the misalignment. Am I right about that? Some, though, do report pain and discomfort during the adjustment process. It may not always happen, but sometimes it can't hurt being adjusted. But the pain of the adjustment is worth being realigned. If you're tired of life being hard, if you're tired of your walk with God being a strain, then you don't mind the discomfort of Him readjusting your life. See, you don't mind whatever you got to go through and whatever God got to do to get you to where He wants you to be. So if you got to lose some friends and He got to shed some things out of your life, you say, Lord, realign me.
Somebody shout, make your adjustments, God. If I just got to be a little sick so that I don't have to be sick no more. If I got to be a little bit hurt so I don't have to hurt no more. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Somebody say, Lord, have your way. Realign me. My son has been telling me, Pastor, go see the chiropractor. Go see him, Pastor, because if you go see him, I promise you, your back will feel so much better. And I hadn't been yet, but after this word the Lord gave me, I need to make an appointment. Because to see the little bit of discomfort that I might feel getting straight is better than what I feel every day. Somebody shout glory. How many of you really want to be healed? Then you got to be willing to let God process you. Let you go through what you got to go through. It may be uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, it's leading you to your best days. Somebody shout yes. We're almost done. Hold on just a minute now. Whoo, Jesus. Somebody shout, realign me. Pastor yesterday talked about something as simple, and somebody had already told me this. I think Elder Smith had already told me this. A wallet in your pocket. He said a wallet in your back pocket. Every time you sit down, you have one side higher than the other. It throws you out of alignment. So the doctor has adjusted us, but we keep doing stuff that gets us out of adjustment. Why would you keep putting yourself back where you started after the adjustment has been made? All you got to do is take your spiritual wallet out of your pocket. That means whatever weight you're carrying around, why don't you just release it? Instead of holding on to what happened to you 20 years ago. Instead of holding on to the anger of some relationship that broke off, let it go so you can be healthy. Because we go and we get the adjustment. Then we go put the wallet in the back pocket. We sit down for a week. And then we end up out of sorts again. And we wondering what happened. We hurting ourselves. He's made adjustments in us already. Guess what, y'all? Watch this. Hold on. We shifted. But then we went back to the gear before. Why would you be on the highway cruising and downshift? You on your way. Then get scared. Hit the clutch and pull back one. Let's do a case study. Luke 22. High school, you ready? Good. Luke 22, 31 through 34. This is what I call the warning. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now I don't want everybody to be so hard on Peter. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us here. Because, see, Peter said, I am ready, but the problem was he wasn't able. He was ready to go to jail and to death, but he wasn't able to go. Isn't it something how we make a faith-filled confession high off the Holy Ghost at a good worship service, and then the devil hits us and say, now do what you promise. We say, Lord, I'll live for you the rest of my life, and the devil smacks us upside the head and say, now get to living. I praise you for the rest of my days. Go and praise him. Yes. Our testimonies will be tested. Yes. Any preacher can tell you, if he comes and preach a faith message, that thing will be tested before the week is out. I done sat down and talked to some preachers. And they say, man, I preached this message on faith, man. We had a wonderful time. And you know that thing got tested by Tuesday? We talk big stuff when nothing going on. See, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan wants all of you. Don't think that he just wanted Simon. He wanted all the disciples. Satan wants all of us. He's asked for all of us. But Jesus said, Peter, you in particular. He said, I prayed for you. He said, because Peter, out of all the people that he wants, he said, you're going to be the one to fall. You're going to be the one to fall, Bubba. But I prayed for you that your faith won't fail you after you fall. I prayed for you. I've lifted you up so that you won't stay down when you fall down. I prayed for you so that when you do mess up, you won't go back to where you came from. I prayed for you. Woo, God. Anybody glad that he's our intercessor? I prayed for you. I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. He says, and when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. He said, when you get back up, I want you to go and find one of your brothers that's struggling with what you struggled with. And tell them what God's done for you. Tell them that you fell down, but he picked you back up. Tell them that you are about to give up, but he gave you strength to stay in there. Somebody say, I got to get pride out of my life. Said, I got to get pride out of my life. Because my testimony may help somebody else. My testimony may bless somebody else. When you come back, Peter, that word converted, everybody shout converted. Converted. It means cause to turn back. It means when you reconnect to your purpose. When you reconnect to your purpose, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brothers. I want you to help them. I want you to look at that person who came in with their head hung down because they messed up last night. I want you to look at them and I want you to tell them God will receive you back. Yes, sir. I want you to let them know that I fell away from the Lord myself and God brought me back. I got out of line and God realigned me. Yes, and that I'm not so holy that I never made a mistake in my life. Right. But he's a restorer. Yes, anybody know God to be a restorer? Yes, anybody know that God will forgive you for stuff that people said he wouldn't?
That's right. Amen.
That stuff people told me he would never forgive me for, and he forgave me. The devil is a liar. He is a forgiving God.
Yes, he is. Yes,
sir. Now let's look at the event. We're almost done. Y'all just hang in for a few more minutes. Luke 22, 55 through 62. You got it, high school? I know you do. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Layman turn, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. It's one thing to mess up. It's another thing to mess up and have Jesus look at you. Pam, it's one thing to deny Jesus, but it's another thing to deny him. And after you did it the third time, for Jesus being whooped and everything to go.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Have you ever felt the weight of conviction? Have you ever done something and immediately after doing it, you felt the... Somebody say, I thank God for conviction. Peter began to weep bitterly and he ran away. Now, where did Peter go? Where did Peter go? This third piece we call the realignment. John 21, 15 through 17. Here it is. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Some of you have already noticed that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three times to match the three times that he denied him. Peter began to be a little distressed, and it hurt his feelings because Jesus kept saying, do you love me? But Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. You see, Walter, even when he denied Jesus, he loved him. See, sometimes you can love the Lord and still mess up. Sometimes you can love the Lord and still have a wreck. See, some of y'all, you love the Lord, but you still made a compromise. But I come to tell you that you don't love him as much as he loves you. And he is a restorer of the fallen down. He is a restorer of the backslidden. The Bible declares that he's married to the backslider. And he's come to get you back. Somebody say yes, Lord. Now, I don't expect everybody to shout over this one. But if you've ever messed up in your time with God, and you had to come to the altar and lay on your face and ask for forgiveness, I'm going to ask you to jump up on your feet and give God the biggest thank you. Oh! Hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. 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 Come on. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Yes. Somebody shout unto God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, touch your neighbor and say, he forgave me. Come on, tell somebody he forgave me. Share your testimony. Tell him he forgave me. Yes, God. Give me a little bit more, Julian. Y'all remember what they used to say? Sam, you remember what we used to say in the Baptist church? He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. Somebody say yes. If you know what I'm talking about, shout yes. Mother Trapio, we used to sing that song and say, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help. It was love. God's love. I sent out a text the other day. My spiritual granddaughter, she hit me back and she said, yes, won't he do it? Yes! Won't he do it?
I said, yes. Look at your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? He'll do it. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. He did it for your neighbor. He'll do it for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. He'll do it. Listen, listen. You know what he says to Peter? He says, Peter, my mind about you has not changed. I called you Petros. I called you a small rock. That day that you told me that I was the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, I told you who you were. And he says, even though you messed up, he said, my mind about you has not changed. What I called you to do is still your purpose. You have to understand where Peter was. Where did Peter run to? He didn't run to Jesus. He ran away from him. But Jesus went and got him, elder. Jesus went to the beach where he was fishing. Anybody remember what Peter was doing when Jesus met him the first time? Fishing. He went back to where he came from. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, we just asked the question, go back to what? Because after you've been in Christ, nothing back there compares. But Peter went back to fishing for fish again. And when the disciple said, that's him, that's Jesus, the scripture says Peter had to throw on some clothes because he was naked. And he jumped in the water and swam ahead of the boat to get back to Jesus. And when he got there, there was a fire going. There was a fire. And Jesus said, give me some of the fish you caught, because we're going to sit down and we're going to eat together. See, the Bible says that if you come to God and you come to the Son, he said they'll come together and they'll sup with you. See, that's what the Bible says. Though our sins be as scarlet, he says, come, let us reason together. He says, I'll wash you and I'll make you as white as snow. You might have been out of alignment. He says, but if you come back to me, if you repent, you make way for realignment. If you just admit, God, I've been outside of your will, he says, I'll take you back. I'll sup with you. I'll commune with you. Our covenant is still good. I don't care how far you went, you can still come back home. And he sits down and he breaks bread with Peter, because to eat with someone in that particular time meant that you were cutting covenant. And he cut covenant with Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes. Peter, do you love me? He says, yes. Peter, do you love me? He says, yes. He says, okay, now you can go back to work. Leave the fish and come on back. You're still fishing for men. You still have purpose. I'm still going to use you. The first thing you got to do, you got to repent, because repentance makes way for realignment. See, the repent says that we agree with God, that his standard is holy. We agree with God that when we compromised, that when we walked away, that when we relaxed, we got out of his standard. And that's the only way we're going to be realigned. You don't go to the chiropractor if you don't have back problems. He says, come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of you hadn't rested in quite some time. He says, come to me. Come to me, and I'll restore you. I'll refresh you. I'll revive you. The scripture says, repent so that the times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. That's the only way we're going to feel the refreshing of the Holy Spirit again, is if we repent and come back into alignment with God. So if you're here today and you've been out of alignment, you know who you are. Just lift your hands wherever you are. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about people. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody's eyes are closed anyway. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's watching you. Just lift your hands. And I just want you to say, Lord, realign me. Pray this prayer with me. Father, I know I've been out of line. I know I hadn't lived according to your glorious standard. I know I've relaxed my standards. But God, I come to you today with a heart of repentance, asking you to restore me, refresh me, revive me, realign me, put me back where I belong in my spirit. Thank you, God, for forgiving me, for realigning me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God praise in the house. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you all what happened with Peter after he was realigned? After he was realigned, Jesus ascended back to heaven. He promised them that the Holy Spirit would come. And he told them to go and wait until the Holy Spirit came. And the Bible said they were all in one place, in one accord. And then the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind. And it came down on them as cloven tongues of fire sat on every one of them and filled the room. And when they walked out of the room, the people were looking. Something was different about those guys. Because see, the world, they don't know what it is, see. They know something different about you, Warner, but they can't quite put their hand on it, you understand? And they said they're drunk. And guess who steps up? Guess who preaches the sermon and 5,000 souls get saved? Peter. The one who had just denied Jesus 3 times, the one who had just been realigned, steps up and preaches a revival, and 5,000 souls are saved. His mind hadn't changed about you. It doesn't matter how far offline you went. When he restores you right back to your purpose. Somebody ought to thank God for that. Somebody ought to thank God for that. If you're here today and you don't even know Christ, you are totally off course. If you don't know Christ, you are off course. He has a plan for you, and the Bible describes it as good. He wants to bring you to a future and a hope. But first, you've got to come to him. His word says, come, let us reason together. Come on, let's talk about it. He says, though your sins are as scarlet, he says, I'll wash you. What does that mean? He says, I'll forgive you and I'll cleanse you. I won't leave you the way you came to me. So if you're here today and you don't even know Christ, I'm telling you, you're off course. You're not operating in purpose. You're not living according to the standard, but you can come to Christ today, our glorious standard bearer who died on the cross for you so that you could be saved. Come today to Jesus and you can meet that standard in him. But first you've got to come. He invites you, come. Come, let us reason. Come. He says, I already know who you are. I've already know what you've been through. I already know your experiences. He says, I know what you're feeling right now. He says, but you know what? None of that matters. Come. Come. You've not done too much for him to forgive you. You've not gone too far for him to forgive you. He will forgive you. I want to show you how many people in this room are forgiven, so that you'll understand that he does forgive. Everybody in this room who's been forgiven by God, raise your hand. You are in good company today if you'll just come. Just as he's forgiven all of us, he'll forgive you. I invite you to come today. If you're here today and you don't have a church home and you need a church home, I'm inviting you to come now and become a part of Real Life Christian Fellowship Church. You're invited to come right now and become a part of this church. We invite you. Hallelujah. I invite you to come. We invite you to come. Become a part of this ministry. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the word that you ministered to us today. Lord, we recognize that there are so many ways where we let you down. Our thinking was off course. Our speech was off course. Our lives were off course in varying areas. Maybe we relaxed our standard. Maybe we just relaxed altogether. And we didn't take you or the things of God as seriously as we should have. But I thank you, Lord God, that you are a restorer. And that you're not into leaving your people where they are, but you are into restoring your people and bringing them back to their rightful places. And Lord, I pray that that took place today. I pray that hearts turned to you in a way that they hadn't in some time. And that you have realigned us and set us back in place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.